and welcome to the Life in Lane 4, the podcast where we dive into the struggles of balancing swimming and school. I am your host, Anton Bergavoy, and today I sit down with the soon-to-be UNC Tar Heel, Sam Huggins. I first saw Sam going for a trials cut last year, and although he didn't make it, she still had a monster swim. He continued those monster swims all the way through his final year in high school, becoming the Pennsylvania State champ in the 200 free. I last saw him at Long Course Senior Champs this past weekend, where he just destroyed his competition, unrested, I might add, winning the 100 free, 200 free, and 400 free events. The stories he shared and his love for the sport make him an amazing guest, and I am so thankful and excited to have him here, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hey, Sam, how are you? Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
I'm doing great. It's an honor to be on this, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah. So senior champs just passed. I know you and I were just talking previously that you only swam the 100, the 200, the 50, and the 400. How did you feel after those races?
I'm really happy with all the races I did. I think I was, pretty close to my best times in all of them. And I think it was a great meet, especially just for my confidence, knowing I'm in a good place, going into my taper meet coming up next week.
Is this a meet where you kind of trying out new tactics, new strategies? I know for me, I was talking to this one recruiting coach that I talked to, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago. He was use all your high school meets to practice for the 200 or the 500, try out different things, take out the first 100 or back half the whole thing if you want, whatever. So was this kind of a try something new meet for you, or?
It was for the 50 and 100, it definitely was. I'm trying to, usually I kind of build those events, but I need to get going right away, be able to get my speed up right at the beginning. And then for the 200, I usually do the same race plan kind of. And so I start out pretty controlled, and then the second 100, you got to drop the hammer, get going.
Yeah.
And then for the 400, it's just kind of go and go until you can't anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you with that 50 and the 100 stuff. It's just, I guess, distance swimmer problems, I guess. Can't get too fast right away. Annoying. I hate it. I'm always during my pace practices, I always do three or four, if we do 20 50s on a minute, 200 pace. That's normally our Friday morning set, staple set. We would always it always takes me four or five just to get into it, just for me to be within a couple tenths of my two pace. So yeah. For the 400, that's an interesting strategy. I don't think I've ever heard of it. Go till you can't anymore. Hello?
Yeah, it's just, you gotta start out fast and keep it going.
Really?
Glitching out. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I can hear you now.
All
right. Yeah. And just kind of keep it going till the end. That last kind of 150, you really got to dig deep and push through the pain a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to push through the pain the 400 at finals. Oh my God. That hurts so bad.
It hurts a lot.
Yeah. It's the one thing I hate about distance events. I know I'm a distance swimmer. You're a distance swimmer. I'm sure you feel the same. It's the last 150, 200 of each swim just hurts so bad. It's you just want it to be over so bad.
Yeah. It's just more motivation to get it done faster, you know?
Yeah, exactly. More motivation to get it done faster, even though your muscles are crumbling as you speak, right?
Dying inside of you.
Exactly. How does seniors, I know you said that you got a big boost of confidence. So what exactly makes you more confident going into your big taper meet next week?
I feel just the past couple meets this year, I've been like pretty far from my best times. Like they've been a couple off meets, and like having seniors like without having to rest for it or anything, and being able to go like that close to my best times is like knowing that the work I did over the summer like is paying off, and it like was good work that I did. So like I'll be set up good for next week.
Yeah. Why do you think that seniors are so much different than like your other two meets or your other couple meets that you were at? They said that they were off meets.
I think it was just like the environment at seniors is always like amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's like always great people to race, and like in the ready room before finals, everyone's like hyping each other up, and it's just like a good little like group of people, I feel like.
Why do you think like was there like any like mentality switch going into seniors versus like your other couple meets, do you think?
I think like it kind of like hit me that this is like my last senior champs, like this is like the one, so I kind of wanted to like go out with a bang, you know, and like do what I needed to do and like show what I can do.
Yeah, and I mean, I was a bang you did. I mean, first place in the 100, first place in the 200 and the 400 by like more than a couple tenths. You beat everybody out of the water, just like at least 2 seconds per event. How did that make you feel, like winning all these events at your last ever seniors?
It was definitely like really nice because in the past, like the 200 and 400 have always been like my events, but then going down to the 100 was kind of like a this year switch. So being able to like do so well in that was like just a nice thing to have. And then also in the 50, like I was in the B final, but my time would have gotten like third or something. So having that also was like just a good, another confidence boost, you know.
What caused the switch for you to go into the 100, do you think?
Kind of like not really wanting to do the long distance anymore. Like it was a choice between the 100 or the mile, and I kind of want to
Easy
get
choice.
down closer to the 100 other than the mile. So like
Yeah.
knowing I need to like get faster at that, and knowing how to work to get that better has been a lot of it.
I mean, like your mile is still like amazing, like 15, like sub 15:30 is like in, haven't swam in what, a couple, like a year or two, right? So like it's
Yeah.
still like amazing stuff as like a junior, right? Because you're going into your freshman year at UNC Chapel Hill, so like it's
Yeah.
still like 100, or the mile is still your event. You can't run away from that, right? I've tried myself.
Yeah, no.
How
Never
did you pre
escape it.
yeah I know it tell me about it. My coach, oh my God, he at every single meet is I'm always in like the mile, the eight, or the thousand, the five, the two. I mean, distance swimmer
Yeah.
problems, right? Distance swimmer problems.
I only had to do the mile and the eight like one time this summer each. So that was a nice change from last summer when I did them like at least four times.
Jesus Christ, four times?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, how did you do in the mile and the eight? The one time you did it at this summer.
The mile was like kind of at our. It was like called the Summerfest meet, and it was like at the outdoor pool at Penn State, and it was like super hot that weekend, and it was just like a it wasn't a great swim. I can say that. And but it was good that I did it, 'cause then I was like, oh, I need to like actually like do I needed to do better than that. So it was a good little wake up call. And then the 800 I did like a couple weeks later at West Virginia, and that one like I was happy with. I went like a 8:30 I think or something like that. So I
Damn.
was maybe wait I that might be wrong. I have no clue actually. But it was a good time, so I was happy with it. And yeah.
I mean, wake up call, like the mile not doing so well, wake up call to do the 100 and the 50, right?
Yeah. And
I
it was
mean,
a wake-up call I was like very willing to accept.
of course. who doesn't want to switch out the 15 to do something much, much shorter,
A
right?
lot shorter, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you're gonna keep the switch as you go into futures into college?
I'm not sure about college. I still probably will have to do those longer ones there. But for futures, I'm doing like the 50, the 100, the 200, the 400, and then the two back and two IM, which I might drop one of the two back, the two IM. I'm not sure yet. But I think just being able to like have those shorter, more like sprint races is going to be a nice like way to go out last high school meet, you know?
Yeah. Why do you think you want to drop the two back or the two IM?
It's just those two are on the same day with the 50. Cool. And that just might be a lot. I don't know yet. I still am deciding, but
yeah. I mean, do you like the two back? You like the two IM?
I haven't done the two back yet this summer. Like I have the short course futures cut, so I'm not really sure how that's gonna go yet. Because I did the 100 back at senior champs, but it was kind of like a throwaway event. Like it was not very good, but it was like and then the 2IM, I do like the 2IM. I did it earlier this year and it wasn't great, but like I know I can do better than that, so
yeah. How did you prepare for like this meet? How are you going to prepare for futures coming up?
We didn't do much different to prepare for senior champs. Like a couple people on my team, it was like this was their taper meet, so kind of like splitting apart from like the main group and like keeping doing those like long pace sets and stuff is what I did. And then like today was kind of back into it. This morning was like a swim out set kind of, and then this afternoon we did like a kind of aerobic threshold set with like a bunch of 200s. And then I think I'm like going to stay pretty much up there for the next couple of days and then come down in yardage and intensity a bit, like 2 or 3 days before futures.
Are you not getting a full taper?
I like have never done the best on a full taper. Like just kind of staying where I'm at and getting a couple rest days before is like when I do my best.
Yeah. I feel that. Yeah. After, at my like big high school champs meet, I was off of, I think it was 3 or 4 days rest. I don't remember, but it was like, I remember I dropped like a couple seconds in my five, a couple seconds in my two. So I was happy with those events. And then short course seniors, the taper wasn't the issue. It was something my own fault that I've talked about on other episodes, but I mean, all good, right? All good.
Yeah.
So I mentioned before that you were going to UNC Chapel Hill. So congratulations on making it into there. So, but what, like before you committed to UNC Chapel Hill, how was your recruiting process like?
I feel like it was like pretty normal compared to other people's. Like I started out talking to like pretty much a lot of people. And then, but like pretty quickly, I narrowed it down to like 5 or 6 schools that I was really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I took 4 visits. And then they were in the like fall of my junior year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then after those, I was pretty much like set on UNC. And I was committed there by like October of my junior year.
Wow, damn, that was early. What were some of the other schools that you narrowed down your list to?
My top 4, like the 4 that I took visits to, were UNC, Virginia Tech, Duke, and Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. And like one of my main criteria when picking a school is I wanted to be like further south. I don't like the cold, so I wanted to be like pretty much warm year round.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it was just like schools with good bio programs, because that's really what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that UNC Chapel Hill was probably your favorite visit, but Like other than UNC, or what did you like about UNC Chapel Hill?
I just really liked the coaches and like talking to the coaches on the phone. I knew I was gonna like them in person and like the practices that they run and stuff. And then also like when I was down there, the team was just like seemed like I would fit in there and like were my people and stuff. So it was like a good, it was just a good fit overall for me.
What are some of the practices that you like fell in love with, I guess?
Like I don't know about like the practices in specific, but like I did a couple sets with them, or like I did some of their sets while I was down there for my trip, and it was just like I like the sets that they did and all that stuff. I did another one when I was there for orientation a couple weeks ago, and it was just like it just like seems like good work. Like I like to be doing good work, so that was good.
What could you tell the people who are listening to this? What could you tell them about like what to expect during the recruiting process?
I think definitely like be the one to reach out and show interest first is really important. And also like just like take a lot of like make sure you're asking a lot of questions. You want to like get to know everything you can about a place before you commit there because you don't want to end up going to somewhere you don't like. But yeah.
What do you think are some things that are like important to ask? Like what are some things that are important to ask questions about, do you think?
I think, like for me, it was kind of like where they saw me on the team, like especially with like what events and stuff I would be doing, because I was like, before my junior year, I wasn't really like specialized in anything. I was kind of like, I could do a bunch of stuff, but none of it was like the best stuff, you know? So then after that, like being able to focus in on one thing and like getting better at those like mid distance distance stuff was really like a good thing to like focus on and be like able to learn from the coaches I talked to.
So you kind of started specializing in like the, I guess like the two and the five and the like the longer distance swims because of your talks with UNC, with Duke, with and with all like your other all the other schools that you talked to.
Kind of, yeah. It was just like seeing like what they thought I would do there and then like testing it out in my own meets and seeing like, oh yeah, I can do this pretty well, or like staying away from stuff like the 4 a.m.
You don't like the 4 a.m.
No, it's not my favorite event. It's bad.
Me neither. I mean, I'm also not really a breaststroker, so it's like I can go like 59, like 00101, 128, 55, and then like
Yeah.
56, 55. Yeah, it's
That's
like.
pretty much what mine looks like too. It's like the butterfly. I'm so not good at butterfly. But then the backstroke I can usually like pick it back up and then breaststroke just like hits like a train. And then yeah. That last 100 though, I like the last 100 freestyle.
I mean, yeah, that's any distance swimmer's dream, having that last 100 to look forward to and not like just being done with the race, right? So you said that you wanted to go into biology. Can you like talk more about that? How did you like first choose to like how did you first choose like your interest? What sparked your interest?
I've always like been interested in biology, like plants and animals and stuff. And then in like my high school offered like botany and zoology as classes. And I took those as like a sophomore. And I was like really happy I did because they were like probably two of my favorite classes of like all of high school. And then like just being able to do all like the labs and stuff with that, we did a lot of dissections and like different studies and stuff. So those really helped like kind of pique my interest and help me like choose that as something I wanted to do. And then the same teacher that I did those did the research class I took. So that was just like a nice little bridge from like doing the concepts, like really doing the research.
And so like
Did you do anything like any of like your own research? I know you said you took like the research class, so what kind of did it like entail? Did it entail like, you doing your own research, like you picked a topic and then you did it yourself, or is it like a topic was given to you?
It was like there were me and four other students in the class. It was like a little group, and we each had our own like topic that we picked and did a project on, and then we also all had like a group project that we like worked as a group on, like collectively.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
What was your project on?
My project was like looking at stomata, which are like the little openings on plant leaves, and like their responses to climate change in different like temperatures. And then our group project was like dealing with the invasive species, like focusing on the spotted lanternfly and how we can like control its spread across the eastern US.
Oh yeah, wasn't that like a that was like a huge issue like what like 3 or 4 years ago? I remember that. That
Yeah.
was like horrible. It was spotted like everywhere. Everywhere I'd see one. It was
Yeah.
bad. What are you doing to best balance like this like research and all these like cool biology classes you're taking as long with your regular swimming?
It was a lot of like time management. Like this year, my senior year, I took a lot of AP classes, and so I had like a good amount of homework and stuff to do outside of school. And like just knowing when I get home from practice, I need to do this, and then like being able to get it all done. I also had like some study halls and like during the school day, which helped a lot. So it was like it wasn't hard for me. But it was a good system that I had set up.
What was the system? Did you have like I know they said like the study halls and like after practice, but were there like any like specific methods that you used to like I don't know maybe lock in or something like that?
Just like whenever I would get home from practice, I usually like take a shower, refresh, like get ready, and then I would go and like either work on my like project or like my math class or something until dinner. And then after dinner, I would like try to get it all done before dinner so that once I have dinner, I can focus on like dessert and free time, which I like.
Oh yeah, who doesn't like dessert? Come on.
Yeah. Lots of ice cream and Oreos.
Now, crumble cookie the right side. Come on, crumble cookie.
I don't know. I don't get it that often.
I'm the opposite. I get a little too much sometimes.
You can never
Not
have too much.
good. That's
Never
true.
too much
You're
dessert.
right. That's true. That's true. What do you do to like relax or de-stress? I know like ice cream and Oreos or crumble cookies is a great way, but is there anything else that you use?
Just like watching TV and listening to music. Like usually after morning practice, I'd like go straight to school, and like eating food is like my comfort place. I love to eat. And they have these like super good chocolate chip muffins in the school breakfast line. So I would just get like three of them and eat them during my first class, and it would be like the perfect like relax during the first day or first part of the day.
That's cool. That's cool. That's nice. That's nice. I mean, yeah, as a swimmer, who doesn't love to eat, right? It's like
Yeah.
practically half the things we do, right? Eat, sleep, school, swim, repeat, right?
Yep, that's all there is.
So you went to a private school, right? The college school, right? Or the
No,
state college?
it's a public school. It's
Okay.
just it's called State College because it's like right by Penn State, and that's the State College. It's like it's not a very creative name, but like it's just like the state high is where I went to high school. But yeah.
How did you balance the like the club swimming versus the high school swimming?
We have we're lucky we have the same high school coach and club coach. Like he coaches both teams.
Oh, that's lucky.
So it's basically just during high school season, it's him coaching us And during club season, it's him coaching us, and we use the same pool for both. So it's like same practice times, everything. It's like not a hard switch to make.
That's good. That's nice. At least that's nice. Like I know I go to private school. I have the same thing. I have my club coach and my high school coach are the same. So I just go to my club. Yeah. I just go to my club practices, thankfully. But I know people who like need to go to like three practices a week for their high school team, but then also want to do club. So it's just like balancing everything is just like up in the air. It's going to fall right down, squish them, right?
Yeah. And then like for our high school meets, like during the high school season, we'd have a couple club meets, but those are usually on the weekends. And our high school meets are always on like Thursday. So it like wasn't hard to miss them or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you like how did you enjoy the high school meets?
They're always super fun, like the bus rides to and from the away meets. And just like, I feel like our environment and our home pool is always like crazy. It's like, it's just, they're always super fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm guessing you swim like the 200, the 500 at every meet.
Most of the time. Sometimes I can like switch into the 100 back or something. And maybe the 2 IM, but like usually it's the 2 and the 5.
Yeah. Again, distance swimmer problems, right?
Never escape it.
And this is the last question I ask everybody that I have on the podcast. If you were to go back to your freshman year, what do you think you would do differently?
I feel like probably just like start interacting with more people. Like my freshman year, I kind of had like a close group in my grade on the swim team, and then like we kind of stayed more separate from the rest of the team. But then like as I went through high school and we became like the upperclassmen, it definitely became a lot easier to like interact with the other classes. And like I feel like over my 4 years, like the team environment got better each year, and I just feel like being able to interact with the other grades and other groups of people on the team was like a really important thing that like my group like did a good job at.
What do you think made it easier? Sorry, I know I said last question, but I have a few more. But what do you think made it easier to like interact with like the rest of your school?
I think just like knowing, like the longer you're there, like the more you know, I guess, like everyone is like looking for someone to answer their questions. So, like being the person that can be there and do that for someone, or like introducing a new teammate to another one, like it's just like gets easier as you're more of like a authority figure, I guess, like as like a junior or a senior.
What do you think made the whole like team environment so much better, so much easier to handle and deal with?
I think like especially during like my earlier years, it was like kind of cliquey almost. Like there were a couple different groups, but then like as we like grew as a team, as like more people got to know each other better, it really became like one like big team. And I feel like everyone like talked to everyone had like good ideas, good conversations with each other, and like mostly like being able to hold each other like accountable in practice. Like since we were all so close, it was easier, and we all like got better as a team too.
You think as you grew as like a junior or senior, like you kind of step into like that like authority figure, that like captain role, and like kind of facilitated all that growth as a team?
Yeah, I think so. And like my like co-captains, I guess, were like the same group I started with as freshmen. Being able to like still be with them as a group and like bring everyone else together into it was like a cool thing to do.
Yeah, what do you think that you did to help facilitate it, like that you and your friends did, you and your co-captains, I guess?
We did like we try to do more like team bonding stuff, and like we've always done that stuff like before the season starts, but I feel like we had like just a good group of people, and it was like people wanted to be around. So I think it was like everyone was kind of like drawn together.
I love, that's always the best feeling, right? When you have that like super good team dynamic to like help facilitate and like help you swim the best you can,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Like the
Yeah.
best support system. Like everyone's cheering for each other. There's always people at the end of people's lanes. Like it's
Oh
just like a
yeah.
good feeling.
Yeah, I love that feeling. I was going for the I've told the story a couple times already, but I was going for like my school record in the 500 after my big champs meet, after my mid-season meet, and I and like even the other team started cheering for me because like my whole team was just like up and like behind either behind my lane or on the side, and like even like the whole like it was like when I got it, I finally got it. I went like a I forget what exactly what I went, but I broke it by like 5 seconds or something, and like the whole pool just went up, and it was such a good feeling to have everybody like behind you.
And like I feel like having had that feeling, you just want to like spread it to everyone else. Like you want everybody to be able to feel that. So it's like a good like spread the love.
A good motivator, right? To do better, to do better. Yeah. You think you'll try to do that at UNC when you set foot there?
Yeah, I think I will. 'Cause I think when I was kind of coming into high school, there wasn't like a lot of that. Like we were always a like tight team, but it was more like almost separate. So having like grown that team culture and like having that environment, like I definitely want to bring it with me wherever I go.
A good team environment is always great to have, right? It causes less burnout, less anger towards each other, better practices, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, thank you so much, Sam, for being on the podcast, sharing all your tips and tricks and all your stories. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me. This was great.
Wow, Sam was an amazing guest. His insight into college recruiting and how to be the best leader and teammate possible, and his stories about how he did so well with his very unique race plan made him truly one of a kind. I am so thankful to him for agreeing to come onto the podcast, and I'm thankful to you for listening. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. My name is Anton Burgovoy. I will see you next time in the Life in Lane 4.